Fort Hays State University is preparing to open in August. General Counsel Joe Bain and Communications Coordinator Scott Kaysen stopped by to talk about that and more on this episode of the Post Podcast. Well, what we want to talk about today, and I think this came out Wednesday, down there at Fort Hays State, you folks are working on a plan to get the campus reopened in some sort of form in August, pending, of course, everything continues to go well with the COVID-19 situation. So, Joe, from my understanding, you're kind of leading that effort. You want to just kind of give us a quick recap of what's going on so far?
Sure, you bet. Let me kind of start a little bit with kind of where we've been, if that's okay.
Sure.
Really this pandemic hit the U.S. and the state of Kansas starting in early March in this area, certainly. And so we started making decisions early on in that process. I think transitioning to the all online instruction model and transitioning to a remote work for our faculty and staff were some early decisions that we felt like were really appropriate. You know, our focus from the start has been in ensuring and prioritizing the health and safety of our faculty, staff, and our students. And that's kind of been the guidepost from the very beginning. And that was the basis for a lot of those early decisions. You know, it's been a surreal experience over the last couple months for a lot of folks, affected in different ways by this pandemic. As you kind of alluded to there, luckily in the Hays community here, there hasn't been a lot of reported cases, and so we're thankful for that. But we think some of those decisions that we made early on were good ones, and certainly lined up with the public health guidance and that sort of thing. And so it's worked out really remarkably well in terms of our online instruction and our remote working. We attribute that to kind of just our innovative spirit here at Fort Hays. Just some data points behind that. We transitioned something in the order of magnitude of 4,000 of our Chinese students from traditional classroom experiences to online learning. All sorts of technology pieces go into that, and don't ask me for details, but I'm told it's gone really well. And then as far as our on-campus students, something in the order of magnitude of 800 face-to-face courses that have gone online. We've developed and deployed what we call our care teams, and these are just volunteers throughout the university that are really positioned to help support those students that have had to move to an online delivery system. And those are some things that we've done up to this point that have worked out remarkably well. Scott would kick me if I didn't mention, you know, him being the marketing guy, that we've been in the online space for a long time, and so we've been able to leverage a lot of those technologies and a lot of those efficiencies and really quick create a situation where that transition went pretty seamless. And so those are kind of the bright sides of the story of the last couple months, but we know it's been hard for a lot of folks, and we know it's important to pivot and start planning for the reopening as well. So that's kind of where we've been. James, I talked about kind of where we're going or the planning process from here. What we've started with, and you're seeing this with a lot of different industries and organizations, and certainly higher ed's no exception. We want to pivot. We want to pivot to a reopening, and we want to do it in a way that makes sense and is as safe and promotes the health of folks as much as possible. And so we started a few weeks ago developing a framework and kind of a detailed process. Basically, it involves all the different operational areas of the university. There's probably half a dozen categories within each of our three divisions that are focused in on the details of this. And when we talk about our divisions, we're talking about student affairs, we're talking about academic affairs, and then we're talking about administration and finance. So you can imagine those broad categories capturing a lot of different functional areas. And so we've got working groups and discussions going on throughout those areas. And the basic idea is to overlay what they do on a day-to-day basis with some of the public health guidance that we have out there and some guiding principles that we've developed as a university. And we feel strongly that we've got good people in place at those operational levels to make good decisions, to consider all the public health guidelines and that sort of thing. And so we just wanted to kind of create the framework and the process for doing that. And really the cornerstone for the process is the guiding principles then. It's, you know, how do each of these operational areas think about the decisions that they're making and the planning that they're doing? And so part of that, of course, is the public health guidelines piece, but the other part is these guiding principles that we've come up with. So, you know, I can give a little bit of detail behind each one of those if that makes sense, James.
Yeah, absolutely. I do want to hit on something real quick, and Scott, you might be the one to speak on this. We are talking about fall classes. Summer classes at Fort Hays, there are classes there, but it is very limited compared to fall and spring semesters, right? And I know those have already all been shifted online, if I'm hearing correctly. Yeah.
Yes, we're exclusively online for our summer classes. Typically, even when we're not in a situation like we are right now, there'd be very limited on-campus classes, mostly laboratory and courses that involve that sort of experience. But so that transition for us over the summer has not been too big a one because we're already doing it in the summer. We're already delivering online.
Sure. Okay, so yeah, Joe, if you want to start talking about what August is going to look like in detail, go ahead.
Sure. So, again, we're talking about these guiding principles and these operational folks putting them into play. So the main thing is we're just really going through the details of these plans and starting that process. So the first one is prioritizing the health and safety of students, faculty, staff, and the greater community. Again, that's where we've been from the start, and that's what we'll continue to do. The other guiding principle that we've talked about is protecting the mission of Fort Hays. That's ensuring the completion of success for our students. We've always been a student-focused, the student-centered university, and that's going to continue through this planning process. The other one that we've talked about is maintaining critical operations in the fiscal footing of the university. We've been blessed to have good financial stewardship through the years, and we're going to obviously continue that and maintain that through this process. And then remaining mindful of good governance principles, the idea that we want to have a lot of due diligence and process and data behind our decisions, that's going to help guide these working groups as they think through different scenarios. And then obviously staying true to that nimble and innovative culture that we've talked about before and giving folks the leeway to make some good decisions at a local level here. So those are the guiding principles. And then the key scenarios that we're looking at, James, are really you can see three different broad range scenarios playing out. You can see one where it's a pretty much return to normal campus operations. Obviously, post COVID-19, nothing is quite normal or the same, but something pretty similar to the way it was before, with a lot of those social distancing and other health protocols that we've all learned to live with and think about. The other scenario that we're looking at and considering is more of a hybrid approach. This would combine kind of our in-person classroom and in-person work situation with more of a remote mix as well. Certainly could help for those at-risk or highly vulnerable populations that are out there in terms of their ability to work or to take classes. And then the third scenario that we're looking at is the idea of, you know, if we had to return to a more remote work or online instruction model like we've had to over the last couple months, you know, what would that look like? And we want to plan for all those different scenarios and contingencies, and we know that there could be different iterations within each of those, but it's important to think through all those processes that might come into play. So
sure. And, you know, I'm wondering about the residential life folks. I did a story for Hayes Post when they initially were, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but they had to leave suddenly. They were told that they had to get off campus. Is there a plan in place if that happens, say, in the middle of the semester where they need to again leave and with the potential of maybe not coming back until, say, January?
Yeah, you know, that's a scenario that we want to think about and talk about and make sure we've got a plan for if it comes up. We're hoping it's not the case. You know, the universities have been dealing with pandemics and communicable diseases for a long time, and we think, you know, we can set it up in advance to where we've got the right housing situation, the right social distancing measures, the right protocols in place to help deal with that situation without having to necessarily take the drastic measures that were taken early on, but you definitely want to, you know, think about that potential scenario again and kind of look back and see, okay, what worked and what didn't work as well, and how would that play out if we got a directive from the governor or whatever to basically do something similar. So definitely a part of the planning process.
Excellent to hear. Yeah, and you know, I was there the day they were moving out, and I talked to several of the administrators that were kind of in the area and students as well, and it seemed like everybody really handled it very well. Spirits were high. students were kind of joking about it. I mean, obviously there was a lot of activity and everybody was very sad that they had to go, but also the overall positivity just absolutely was amazing to me. You know, I'm curious too about retention rates. This is a conversation I've heard had not so much locally, but at some of the larger schools in this state, that maybe some of these students that did leave or are now shifted virtually aren't going to come back. Do we have any sort of idea right now, if, you know, basically to put it in a kind of short way, that we've lost some students?
Well, you know, it's always something to think about and monitor. And of course, the higher ed climate wasn't necessarily the best, you know, before this. And so I know a lot of institutions are looking at that and concerned about that. But we've seen so far, you know, promising signs. But it's obviously something that's in the back of our mind. We want to make sure that we've approached all of these students with as much information and as much guidance and as much care as we can, so that we can retain them for next year and that they'll continue on. And we've got a lot of good recruiting folks, a lot of good advising folks. We're currently underway with our pre-enrollment process. We've seen the summer numbers kind of stabilize a little bit. And so it's still pretty early to tell what we're looking at for fall, but you know, we feel like we've got the right approach and the right people to certainly, you know, keep up the momentum that we've had with enrollments through the years. So,
excellent. Yeah, because I'm thinking enrollment like wouldn't really be finalized until later on this month, maybe early next month, right?
I think that's right. I don't have all the details in terms of the timeline for that, but I think it would play out over the next couple months here.
Yeah,
and I'll say that that's the nature of enrollment at Fort Hays State University. You know, several small private liberal arts colleges would have a May 1st commitment date to know what their class for the fall was going to be. We don't operate that way as a regional comprehensive public. Again, we are, you know, the leader in the state with delivering high-quality, affordable online instruction. So we remain a great option for families that remain concerned about either having their students come back or new students coming in. And I think, James, you probably saw yesterday we announced a new scholarship program mm-hmm. that will help students bridge, you know, from the, if they feel the need to stay home a little longer of their freshman year, we have scholarships that will allow them to bridge that. And we also have a new scholarship program that eliminates the ACT requirement from the award model, knowing that it's hard to go take an ACT test right now with everything shut down. So I think we're being nimble and we're adjusting to the marketplace and the conditions we have to still make our university the most affordable and accessible university in Kansas.
Yeah, and you mentioned the online, and Fort Hays has truly been a leader in online education. This thing dates back more than a decade than some of the other schools. And I know some D1 schools in the Midwest still don't offer the online education. I'm wondering if there's some thought, too, that enrollment might actually go up just because more people have that thought of this is a great way to do it and remain safe, you know, going forward for the next year.
Oh, I'd say we sure hope so. We're sure anticipating that. We are a great option, and we're actually adding more resources to student advising and transition programs for our online students. It is a wave of the future in higher education, and I think we're out front on it.
Yeah, and I'll just add to that real quick, and talking to our admissions folks that, you know, they're really keying into this notion that folks may want to, you know, stay a little bit closer to home and do more online work. And so we are really well positioned to provide that opportunity for folks. Obviously cover a big area here in Western Kansas, good rural setting for folks. And the online piece just adds another layer to it. So.
Love it. Well, gentlemen, we're very quickly running out of time here. I'm wondering if there's anything else, Scott or Joe, that you guys want to share before we go.
Oh, I'll just say real quick that, you know, really appreciate our faculty, staff, and students and what they've done over the last couple months and this planning process going forward. We know that we need to be nimble, and we know that this pandemic has taught everybody that, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of need for folks to be able to pivot quickly and do things that help with the health and safety of our campuses. And we feel like we've got the perfect situation with the perfect people to do a good job with this. We have a process in place now that's really deliberate and thoughtful and intentional, and we're really optimistic about the future.